Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone to Block Talk Radio and the Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff and delighted to be with you for a new year, 2013. Can't believe it's here. I am so excited to share with you this program today, Precious Beginnings. I am a mother and have been passionate about our little ones forever. I remember beginning when I was 10 years of age, being with little ones. So this program is about those that are unborn and also born, that we can give such a precious beginning to you. Did you know that much research has been done to understand the life of the unborn child? The results are truly extraordinary and show that the unborn child is capable of learning, able to hear, capable of responding to voices and sounds, sensitive to his parents' feelings, and an active and feeling human being. Dr. Thomas Verney has been involved in such pioneering research since the 1970s. During this program, I'll share with you some of the stories he writes about in his book, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child. In addition, we'll also be talking about the newborn. I'll be sharing with you some things about the infant, the language of the infants, and we'll share with you conversations with you that you can have with your child from my book, Conversations with Infants. And we'll talk about the use of music for the newborn. I'll share with you from Deepak Chopra's book, Magical Beginnings, some suggested music. And to end the program, I'm going to share with you just three basic principles for life with a newborn, and those are from the teachings of Magna Gerber, author of Dear Parent, who I had the pleasure of working with and studying with. So that's our program today. Just want to tell you a little bit about our program here at the Voice of Change. I bring to this internet radio program people speaking out on aspects of life during these transformational times. In addition, I'm sharing much of my own passions these days, too. During these programs, I have spiritual leaders, enlightened teachers, educational professionals, visionaries, birth therapists, share their perspective, their expertise, and their insights to support, encourage, and inspire new ways for these changing times. And I truly believe that these times are asking for us to live in greater harmony with ourselves and our loved ones. And this is the aim of these programs. Just a little bit about myself. I am a parent educator. I have the adult education credential, parent education, child study. And I had a column, Listening to Children, appear in the West County Gazette for several years. I have studied with Magna Gerber, the creator of RI, which is Resources for Infant Educators, an approach to being with children which is respectful, honoring, and empowering. And so this is a little bit about my background. In addition to that, I am an EFT practitioner, which is the Emotional Freedoms Technique, offering much relief from emotional trauma. And I hold the EFTCC certification and the EFT Advanced. So, to begin our program, I just concluded 21 days of programming about the art of change. And during those programs, I really learned something from myself, the importance of listening from the heart. And so today, as we begin this program, I just want to let you know that whatever you hear, whatever you hear me share, I invite you to take it into your own being and listen with your heart to see if it's right for you. Every one of us is unique. Every one of us is different. And we really need to listen to what's out there and see if it's right for us. And then move forward with confidence and courage and trust and clarity, knowing that you're doing what is right for yourself. So to begin with, I am going to start with a little bit of background on the book, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child. And I will also share with you how I come to actually get involved with this particular book. Over the last 10 years, I myself have had remembrances of life in utero, of life right prior to my birth, and experiences afterwards. And so I began searching for more understanding of what the unborn child was able to do. And my dear friend, who is a prenatal and perinatal therapist, told me about this particular book, and it's absolutely wonderful, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child by Dr. Thomas Verney. And before we begin, I just want to tell you a little bit, well, explain to you, the prenatal refers to the before birth experiences of a little one, and perinatal refers to the birth and the immediate afterbirth of a child. So those are those two names. And actually, it's been Thomas Verney, who is the author of this book, that really has led the importance of this field, has led people to really understand the importance of this field. And it all began with an amazing story, which I'm going to share with you right from the beginning of his book. And by the way, Thomas Verney is a psychiatrist, and he is the author of this book, The Secret Life of the Unborn, and it has been translated into 27 languages. And he is actually, I could call him the father of prenatal and perinatal psychology, because he is the one who has started this movement and also started the organization that is the basis for a lot of people studying this material today. So I want to share with you the very foreword in his book and how Dr. Thomas Verney began this work. Quote, "This book really began in the winter of 1975 during a weekend I spent with some friends at their cottage in the country. Helen, my hostess, was 7 months pregnant and radiant. Often in the evenings, I would find her sitting alone in front of the fireplace, softly singing a beautiful lullaby to her unborn child. This touching scene left a deep impression on me, so when Helen told me later, after the birth of her son, that that lullaby had a magical effect on him, I was intrigued. It seemed that no matter how hard the baby was crying, when Helen began singing that song, he quieted down. Was her experience unique, I wondered, or did a woman's actions, perhaps even her thoughts and feelings, influence her unborn child?" End of quote. So that is in the foreword to this book. And then he goes on and talks a little bit about the research that had been going on, and discovered that there was a lot of people interested in the field, neurology and also physiology, and that studies of this and research in these fields revealed many new things. And so when this book came to press in, or became out in 1981, so it's very, very old, really. These are the things that were known, but I also have some updated information for you, too, next I'll share from Dr. Thomas Verney. So in 1980s, this was what was known, that the fetus can see, hear, experience, taste, and on a primitive level, even learn in utero. And then going on, that he also feels and perceives this begins shaping his attitudes and expectations about himself. And also that the chief source of these shaping messages is the child's mother. And this does not mean that every fleeting worry, doubt, or anxiety a woman has resounds on her child, but what matters are the deep, persistent patterns of feeling. And then last of all is this new research is also beginning to focus much more on the father's feelings. So this was after 6 years of research in the 1970s that he came up with these findings. And I invite you to go to YouTube, as I have done, and Dr. Verney has wonderful videos out on YouTube showing his more recent work. And from that, I just want to share with you some ideas. He is going on to say that so much of what takes place during those early times is remembered, is noted by the unborn. And that the fetal brain, immune system, and personality development are beginning to be formed at that time, and what takes place is extremely important. He quotes, says, and this is paraphrasing, "Today we understand that everything a mother has to eat, drink, her experiences, her stress, her feelings, and thoughts, in small and large ways, influence the development of her unborn child." And so some of the foundational principles that perinatal and prenatal psychology is based on, one is that life is a continuum. Many years ago, they thought that the child's life began at birth, and not true at all. He says it begins from conception. And actually, Karen Melton, my friend and colleague, I've heard her say that, you know, it can begin before conception. But no, I have no facts to report on that right now. There is no separation between mind and body. And then the third is that nature and nurture are both dynamics in the development of a child. And Dr. Verney was saying, you can't say it's really nature, you can't say it's really nurture, but it is the dynamics from those two. And that the brain is sensitive. Reading my notes, I just took a lot of these notes recently and haven't retyped them up, is very, very sensitive to all that takes place. And that he said, Dr. Bruce Perry, his neurobiologist, quote, was so important, that this experience before birth and during birth is the chief architect of the brain. I thought that was very, very interesting. So this is from Thomas Verney. And he goes on to share a couple stories which I wanted to share with you, telling more about the life of the unborn and what is possible. This is another one of the stories. It begins, and this is in his book, quote, "Child, it's even possible to begin teaching an unborn baby. At the very least, a pregnant woman who spends a few minutes each day listening to soothing music could make her child feel more relaxed and tranquil. At most, that early exposure might create in the child a lifelong musical interest. It did for Boris Brott, conductor of the Hamilton, Ontario Philharmonic Orchestra. And this is the story. One evening a few years ago, I heard Brott interviewed on the radio. He is a colorful man with a gift for storytelling. On this particular night, he was being quizzed about opera. Toward the end of the discussion, the interviewer asked him how he had become interested in music. It was a simple enough question asked, I suspect, more to kill time than anything else, is the side note of Dr. Verney. But it stopped Brott. He hesitated for a moment and said, you know, this may sound strange, but music has been a part of me since before birth. Perplexed, the interviewer asked him to explain. Well, said Brott, as a young man, I was mystified by the unusual ability I had to play certain pieces sight unseen. I'd be conducting a score for the first time, and suddenly the cello line would jump out at me. I'd know the flow of the piece even before I turned the page of the score. One day I mentioned this to my mother, who is a professional cellist. I thought she'd be intrigued because it was always the cello line that was so distinct in my mind. She was. But when she heard what the piece were, the mystery quickly solved itself. As the scores I knew, sight unseen, were ones that she had played when she was pregnant with me. And it just touches me. I have chills all over. It just really stopped me reading that. It just touches me as to so much about this beautiful unborn child of what they are able to perceive and the opportunities that we have with them. So that was very exciting to me. So that is all from The Secret Life of the Unborn Child, Thomas Verney. It's V-E-R-N-Y. And I'm actually going to be holding a Precious Beginnings class beginning next week. I have it scheduled right now for 11 a.m. Pacific time. I may be needing to change that to the evening, but I'll keep you posted. It is on my website, SharonAnnWyckoff.com, if you are interested. I'm just so excited about this material because it really touches me. It's touching. So now I want to share with you a little bit about listening to your newborn. And again, all of this I invite you to take in to your heart and to see what is right for you. I have had several different versions of the material that I'm going to share with you. I've called it the intimate way of listening with a child, conversations with little ones. It's gone on variety names. I'm actually revising it one more time, and I'm going to have it out, in the next month or two. And what it is, it's different ways of really connecting with your child. And my mother is my inspiration for this. I would observe my mother talking with an infant, and she talked to them just as if they were a regular little human being. And so I have developed this, and just it's a joy to talk with little ones. I study with Magna Gerber, and she has what is called Terry time. For example, if you talk to a child and you might say a little one, say something like, are you ready for your bath? And then you actually wait, and you wait, that's the Terry time, for their response. And if you do that, their body language is going to talk to you. Their body language is going to tell you if they're ready for their bath. They might start fussing, or they may put their arms up, you know, saying, take me to my bath. So that something I wanted to share. So there are three different aspects of this work, and I'm turning to my page here. I like to read what I've written. The first one is listening. And listening allows for expression of the self. When you actually listen to an infant and you respond to what you are hearing them say, that is allowing for the self-expression of that little one to be heard and recognized. And that is so important in the developing of their essence of who they are. And I write, the self is that within each person that is the essence of who they are and is unique to them. The expression of the self and being heard is essential for one to feel loved, important, and cared about. Following are some ways the self is expressed in little ones. And I'll just give you three examples from this. Expressing delight is a way your child shows you what he likes. Delight may be expressed in a variety of ways. One child may smile. Another child may continuously point to a subject of interest and babble incessantly. This might be for the older child, perhaps a toddler, or a little one, 4, 5, 6 months old. These expressions may be subtle and yet are very important. This is the beginning of the development of self or one's nature, and recognizing those conversations or those expressions are just so very important. Another reading, squeals from your child may be his expression of delight. Observe his responses carefully. This is his way of showing you his preferences. Acknowledge such happenings with your words and your facial expressions. Your child appreciates being understood. And then a third, cries are a sign of your child's displeasure. Listen to his cries. Come to hear his cries. This is her way of talking to you. This is her way of telling you her pain. Tell her that you hear her. Tell her you will care for her. Explore what the problem might be, wet diaper, stomach ache, her environment, her need for your presence, and comfort her. And I know sometimes it's just so, so hard to hear those cries. And on that note, I want to share with you, it's from a book, Meditations for New Mothers by Beth Wilson. And she says here, nothing makes a mother more nervous than a wailing infant. When the tears start and the tiny fists clench, our hearts leap into our throats. The screaming cries shake us to our core. We feel desperate. We realize that being strong doesn't mean we are unaffected by our infant's tears. They elicit a powerful maternal instinct. It hurts us to hear them cry. And then she reflects, perhaps it would help to cry our own tears. Instead of keeping a stiff upper lip and becoming exasperated, we could allow ourselves to feel as helpless as our infant does. There is strength in that. And on that note, I also want to share with you something I learned from Karen Melton. She's a perinatal and prenatal therapist, as I mentioned, and her website is HealYourEarlyImprints.com. HealYourEarlyImprints.com. And when I was talking with her once, I actually went through a rebirthing process with her, which was very, very powerful. She said to me that when you are expecting a little one, and even this could be true for your newborn child or any child, if there is tension going on, if there's frustration going on, you can tell your prenate or your infant that this is mommy's problem. This is something mommy's going through, and mommy's okay. Mommy is strong, and she can handle this, and this has nothing to do with you. And this takes the pressure off of the little one thinking they may be thinking that it is their fault. So that is something that I recall from having worked with Karen Melton. So going back again to conversations with little ones, the second area that I think is so important, and it kind of goes along with listening, is called about allowing. And this is nurturing that self-expression. Allowing means a little one's adventure into the knowing of their self is that which makes them uniquely who they are. As you allow a child to move about, to explore, to experiment, to experience the world in their own unique way, you are allowing for their self-expression. This is one of the greatest gifts you can give to another, especially an infant or young child. And I'm recalling an experience that I had. It was actually what another mother did. Her name is, I'm drawing her back. She's a minister with Unity. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, many years ago, I was involved with her church, and she said that when she had her children, she would divide off a space that was just right for them. With the infants, it would be a space that was free for them to roam safely in. And then as they became a toddler, she would expand that space so they would have more room. And she kept doing that until the child was able to have the whole house. And I thought that was so beautiful because she was just giving her child the space that he needed at that time. So I'll read a couple things about allowing. Allowing is a special way of being with another in which you step back and become a watchful observer. Allowing a child to explore, experiment, and express herself in her unique way, individualized way, gives her freedom. As you interact with a child, you share life. You do not need to dominate or control or impose your nature or ideas upon her. Some of my earlier work in it, I called it freedom. I'm trying to think of the exact names. Freedom within the boundaries, something like that, where a child has a certain space that they can be in and they can be free within that. I know when I had my children, I had actually a huge house at the time, and I literally totally made it child safe. My children could go into the kitchen cupboards as they got older and pull out things to play with. The plastic things were on the bottom. I recall my four-year-old one day pulling out the flour and the oatmeal and making his cake right there on the floor. It was much fun. So you can actually make the home safe for your infants so they have freedom in that space. And the last tool that I'll share with you from this, and then we'll go to a musical break for a moment, is communications. Where did that go? And that's when you are actually talking to your little one and he or she is talking back. Communication is the art of listening to another and then responding. It takes two to communicate. It's a beautiful art to be developed. As I write this, a picture of my mother years ago comes to mind when she was communicating with an infant. It was as if no one else was around. It was she and the infant in their own world. It truly was a gift that I'll always remember. And it really is. It's something I recall to this day. And so I'll read you just a couple of expressions from here. About expressions and communication. Expressions from infants come through in a variety of ways. Self-expressions includes sounds of babbling, eye glances, head movements, body movements, arm gestures, crying, yelling, silence, laughing, and smiling. As you practice deeply listening, you learn to listen with your eyes, ears, and heart to hear what they are saying. When you hear and respond from that knowing, that is true communication. And I think we are being called so much to listen to an infant, our little ones, our precious little ones, born or unborn, with our heart. Because even today, more than ever, there is so much material out there. And I actually recall when I was pregnant with my children, I had my children in the late 60s and early 70s. I did not read much material at all. I truly was kind of following my gut. And today, with so much material out there, I think we really, truly have to follow our gut. And I'm going to share another just brief meditation from Beth's book on meditation for new mothers. And it talks more about the intellectual way of learning, which we're doing through this program, but I'm going to add a heart piece to it as we follow. Why do mothers read so much? This is quoting. Why do we underline each chapter and information? Why do we check out stacks of books from the library we know we'll never have time to read? The obvious reason is that we want to be well-informed, aware mothers. But there's another reason. We look to the printed page to reflect our personal experience. We need new ways to articulate aspects of ourselves, which are just beginning to form. I personally think that is so true. In books and magazines, we try on images of mothers and motherhood that we might, as we might close in a dressing room. What fits? Which ones look good? Which ones are comfortable and leave room to grow? Which ones just aren't me? What we read helps us to conceptualize and to comprehend the radical transformations we go through as we become full-fledged mothers. And I think it's so true. You know, we need to listen, and we need to listen with our heart, too. Not just our head, but what feels right. We may think, oh, we need to have all this, these books, all this information. But what feels right, it just may be one book and one direction that you're going to focus on. So I invite you to really take all this into heart and to see what is right for you. When we come back, I'm going to share with you from Deepak Chopra's book, Music for Your Unborn and Newly Born Infants. And then we're going to talk about Magna Gerber, and she is author of Dear Parent and some of the things that she feels is very important for these early times with your little ones, your precious, precious beginnings. So right now, I'm going to play the entire piece that you heard at the very beginning of the program, just an excerpt from. It is Creating a World. It's by Jeffrey John Whitebear and from the album Honoring Life. And his music is at whitebearmusic.com. And I love this piece because it talks about an infant, a sacred infant. So here we go, Creating a World. Going down to the whole piece. Here we are. It's about 4 minutes long.
Newborn child. about this place called Afghanistan. Sounds like a very different land. Don't you know? One man is a terrorist, or is he a patriot? Depends on which side you're looking from. But we're all made out of the same earth, water, and air. Sun and spirit, all is fair. We all are made of love, that's true. We all are made to feel, we all are made to heal. We all have a unique gift of a mystery to share. So let's share. We are creating a world where all people are loved. We are creating a world no longer run by fear. We are creating a world where all beings are held with the sacredness of a newborn child.
Welcome back to The Voice of Change. I'm Sharon Ann Wyckoff, and that was the music of Jeffrey John Whitebear, Creating a World, and his music is at whitebearmusic.com. Today I am sharing about precious beginnings, various teachings, various concepts about perinatal and prenatal psychology from various authors. We've been talking about The Secret Life of the Unborn Child from Dr. Thomas Verney, and also Conversations with Infants from my book with the same name. And now we're going to be talking about the work of Dr. Deepak Chopra, A Holistic Guide to Pregnancy and Childbirth, Magical Beginnings, Enchanted Lives. And one of the things I wanted to talk about here is music. And it just has, in Thomas Verney's book, there was a section, I didn't actually write it down, but I believe it was, he was talking about music that can be played to soothe a child or to invigorate him. And when I come to that another time, I will share that. But today we're talking about the work of Deepak Chopra. And he says, nourish your baby and yourself through sound. And right here he's talking about your unborn child, but I think it's very true with children once they've been born. Just as the story in Dr. Thomas Verney's book, the music that the mother played or sang to her prenate was the music that calmed him when he was in her arms. So reading from Dr. Deepak Chopra's book, the sounds that surround you play an important role in balancing your biological rhythms. Nourishing sounds are as important to your health as nourishing food. And skipping on down, sounds that have the ability to bring forth sensations from all of your senses. Make a commitment to provide your unborn baby with a healthy dose of nourishing sounds on a regular basis. Take time to listen to music that inspires you. Although the significance of the Mozart effect, which suggests that listening to a classical music will make your baby more intelligent, is debatable, there is plenty of information that supports that view that music can soothe your body, mind, and soul. Studies have shown that listening to pleasing sounds can lower blood pressure, enhance immunity, and reduce anxiety. So this is really something so important to remember. And also at the very end today, I'm going to give three things to how you can nurture yourself as a expectant mother or new mother. So this will be one of them, you know, to really give yourself time to listen to music because that nourishes you and your child. I know when I lie down and listen to music, it's just like I can let everything else go and just tune into that. The sounds of nature also have a balancing effect on your mind and body and can help reconnect you and your essential state of peacefulness to your essential state of peacefulness. Go for walks where you are exposed to those sounds that remind you of the timeless intelligence that underlies all of creation, including the creation of your unborn child. And then he goes on to say, play an active role in your unborn child's acoustic experiences. Ask your husband or partner to participate in the process. Have him read poetry or tell stories to you and to your baby-to-be. Studies have shown that newborn babies whose father spoke to them while in the womb respond to their daddy's soothing voice within the first few hours after birth. And then he suggests to create a nickname or term of endearment for your newborn and child that you can refer to them as, and to recite love poems, read inspirational stories, and sing lullabies. And then some of the music that he suggests, he divides it into the three different categories that is very true to the Ayurvedic system, which he is a part of. The Vata, the Pitta, and the Kapha. If you aren't familiar with those terms, that's fine because I'm going to tell you about the music. The first Vata is for calming and relaxing music. And for that, he is suggesting, oh, this one I absolutely love, Om Mani Padme Hum. It is a chant that is repeated over and over. It's absolutely gorgeous. He is suggesting Master Charles as the person who does that. I haven't heard his work, but Om Mani Padme Hum is a wonderful mantra. And then for Pitta music, which is soothing and cooling, he's suggesting several. The one I'll share with you here, because we're running out of time, is the interflute, and that's flute for the spirit. And then that's for soothing and cooling music, the pitta, and then the kapha is for invigoration and energizing. And he shared several of them. One I'll share with you, The Rising, and it's by Bruce Springsteen, Springsteen. There's more here. If you want me to send you the list of the music he suggests, just shoot an email to me at SharonAnnWyckoff at gmail.com, SharonAnnWyckoff at gmail.com, and I will send you the list of this music. So that is his suggestions with that. And then the third I'm going to share with you is Magna Gerber's, some writings from Magna Gerber's book. Magna Gerber, her story is so beautiful. Do I have time to share it? Briefly, perhaps. She was a mother in Budapest, Hungary, and she had a daughter, Anna, and she was needing a new pediatrician. So she went to a doctor known as Dr. Emmy Pickler. And Dr. Emmy Pickler had in a magnificent way of being present with children. And so she started addressing her daughter and talking to her. And this really was very different to Magna because she wasn't used to that. And so it became very intriguing to her. Make a long story short, they became friends. They became colleagues. And Magna Gerber actually carried the work of Dr. Emmy Pickler here to the States. And she began an organization in Southern California called Resources for Infant Educators. Excuse me. And she held classes in her home. She had turned it into a magnificent area for children. And then she has written the book Dear Parent. And it's absolutely amazing. I had the joy of spending 80 hours with her and other teachers at the center in the 1990s and just came away so enriched about ways of being with little ones. So I have three ideas here that I wanted to share with you from her book. And my notes on that have disappeared, so I'm just going to tell you. The first one was predictability, and this was a very, very interesting idea to me. Predictability is the idea that an infant needs to have a predictable schedule to their day, but it doesn't mean you have to do everything at the same time. And this was the thing that made it very, very different. For example, if you nurse them in the morning and then put them down to have a nap, and then after that have your bath, and then perhaps after that listen to music. So there's a sequential part of your day that does one thing after another. What you don't have to do is you don't have to have the nursing or the breastfeeding every day at 9 o'clock. You don't have to have the nap at 10 o'clock. But if these follow one after another so that there's a natural progression and a predictable schedule. And I thought that was just such a beautiful idea because it makes life easier for mom and child. Not to have things set at a particular time. And yet at the same time, it gives that predictability to the mom's schedule as well as the infant's. That was one. The second thing I wanted to share with you is her idea about equipment versus holding. She really is a huge advocate for a little one to be held or to be laid down and not to be in swings and not to be in car seats. At that time, they weren't so prevalent, but now to not leave your infant in a car seat all the time or the little swings. Holding them is just, and I don't know if she was that big an advocate on that. I am a huge advocate on holding because that infant has heard your heartbeat and heard your voice for 9 months in utero. So when they are born, you want to keep that consistency with them. So holding them gives them that security. But she was a big advocate of allowing them to have freedom of movement on the floor. And there's a whole nother aspect of her work that goes into, and also that of Dr. Emmy Pickler. And that is that if you allow a child to move on their own, they automatically develop their muscles that are needed for sitting tall and straight and also walking naturally. And in their work, they do not encourage walking at an early age. They do not encourage walking, but allowing that natural development, the infant to go through all those developmental stages naturally. So equipment she was not for, but really for allowing the freedom of movement. And the third idea was the type of objects, she would call them, to have a child be associated with in the early years of their life. And she framed it this way. She says, passive toys will create an active child versus active toys will create a passive child. And so basically it's these toys that go squeak or squawk or walk or talk that all a child has to do is push a button and then watch the toy move. That's going to create more of a passive child. Whereas if you have objects for a child to have to play with, bowls, and she was not for plastic. Things were done in nice wood because that's a natural material. So bowls and balls and things that children can manipulate and learn from was her recommendations. And the very first toy or object that she really recommended was what you might think of as a napkin, a cloth napkin today. It was about that size. And you would take it in the middle and just kind of pull it up and then let it sit down on the ground beside your little one. And then eventually the child would grab it and her arms would fling in the air and she would watch this thing go back and forth. Really quite remarkable. So Magda Gerber has many, many fabulous ideas, and they are in the book called Dear Parent. So that concludes our program today, and I do want to let you know I am beginning a six-week program, just as I did today on this program, sharing a new Precious Beginnings. And I'll be sharing materials from many numerous sources about your unborn child and what you can do to support and enhance his life or her life, and also that life of your newborn. And I do want to just give you three quick tips to take care of yourself as a beautiful expectant or new mother. One is to take time out to listen to music or poetry on a daily basis, just to sit down, let it play in the background, and let yourself relax and your little one enjoy. Second is to eat healthy meals, rich in color, aroma, and texture. This is from Deepak Chopra. And the third, he says, practice the seven steps for emotional clearing. We'll talk about that in Precious Beginnings. It's also in his book, Magical Beginnings, Enchanted Lives. And to just practice clearing any emotional disturbances that you're going through. And one of the ways that you can do that, as I mentioned today, is that if you are having some moment of upset, just talk to your little one and say that this is not about you, that this is about mom and she's taking care of it, but also to clear that type of work. So if you are interested in Precious Beginnings or my energy work, you can go to SharonAnnWyckoff.com, SharonAnnWyckoff. Next week, I am going to be doing a program on New Beginnings. It is a smoking cessation program for parents, and I will give you the basics of what we do during that program and lots of tips of how you can begin to be smoke-free. And I think that's all. Yes, we've had a full hour here. So know that all of our programs are archived at blocktalkradio.com/voiceofchange for your listening pleasure. We have 4 years of programming here, of programs with parent educators, with Karen Melton. I've done numerous programs with her, prenatal and perinatal therapist. Qigong masters, Waldorf educators, meditators, so many different things. There's just numerous programs here for your listening pleasure. So I hope you will enjoy those resources and hope to see you next time on The Voice of Change. I invite you to know that this is the first day of the rest of your life. And I invite you to live it with love and gratitude. See you next time in The Voice of Change. Bye for now.
If war was the answer, then we'd be at peace. And the battles in the distance would have all finally ceased.
William Florian.
We still have a choice to live and be free.
Larry and Pete.
So let's all raise our voice and become a planet of peace. I'm declaring.
I'm declaring peace.
Just want to remind you that if you would like the music suggested by Deepak Chopra in his book Magical Beginnings, Enchanted Lives, feel free to email you and I will send you that music that is soothing and also invigorating. We have several selections for each. SharonNWykoff.com, SharonNWykoff@gmail.com, and I will send you that information. Have a wonderful day. Know that there is no one exactly like you. Love yourself. You are unique. See you next time. Bye for now.